Today we have two images that are offered to us about Jesus Christ. The one image is that of the gate by which salvation comes to us, and the second, obviously, is the Good Shepherd. The idea of the gate is certainly fostered in that first reading from Acts, when Peter declares the fact that the one who was sent to save us was crucified and died, that we actually participated in his death. But how then we suddenly redeem ourselves from it? We confess our sins, open ourselves up to baptism, and then are placed on the road. Literally, Jesus Christ being that gate, that portal by which we have access to the sacramental life, the life of holiness, the relationship immediately that we have in and through our own creation, that which is given to us by the Father is now restored. But then the second and the wonderful aspect of the image is that of the Good Shepherd, the pastor, you know, the one who leads, the one who directs, the pastor. And that is one of the oldest images associated with Jesus in all of Christian history. In fact, you find that image in the catacombs, where Jesus is depicted as the shepherd and the sheep draped across his shoulder and now caring for those sheep. And for us today to approach, you know, the idea of the shepherd is an activity that we have to strain to understand. You know, if suddenly I said, let's talk about the Iceman. Today everybody would say, what's an Iceman? Or at least the younger people would say, what's an Iceman? Somebody used to deliver literally ice to homes so that there could be kept up a refrigeration, a type of cooling for those things. And it was a common occupation, you know. Or the blacksmith. We aren't usually shoeing our horses today. We're taking our cars to have the retreads on our tires, or to have our tires fixed, but we're not taking ourselves over to blacksmith. Although the occupation still exists, although they still are there, we have to strain to understand the significance and the relationship that those occupations would have had to the community. Here, in looking at the Good Shepherd, we take a look at the activities that the shepherd represented. The Good Shepherd was charged to know the sheep, to know them well. The Good Shepherd was charged to feed the sheep, to make sure they were properly taken care of. And third, the Good Shepherd was one who was called to protect the sheep. And in the sense, the reason why they emphasized the Good Shepherd was the Good Shepherd was so accountable for every one of the sheep in the flock that there would be an accounting, literally later, of that shepherd by the individuals who owned the sheep. And he demonstrated the tremendous professionalism and the character and the quality and virtue by one who could show how well he managed those individuals. Well, here we have the image of the Good Shepherd entrusted to Jesus. And Jesus takes on literally those characteristics and is a model and a virtue of those characteristics. First, to know the sheep. My mother would often say to me, and I'll bet any money that most of you have heard this from either your parents or literally your spouses or somebody who was an absolutely good friend. They would say, I know you better than you know yourself. And oftentimes my mother would say that when I was going to do something, which eventually she knew was going to be counter to literally what I represented, who I was. You better not do. I know you better than you know yourself. There's a wonderful aspect of understanding one who so cares about you that they literally know you inside and out. You know, that happens to us when we suddenly are brought in to those images and those sounds and those activities of people who love and care for us. I had a friend who had tragically lost her father suddenly. She had already been teaching and had been involved in literally your profession as a teacher of advanced Spanish. And father died suddenly. Now, dad was a little bit of a techno geek. He used to like to take pictures of everything and would like to photograph things and would like to kind of go around and make sure that there was little videos of everything. And in the midst of her sorrow, and it was about 6-7 months afterwards, she's dusting and cleaning, and she pulls an old video that dad had made. And she put that video into the, and it was a VHS, so she put it into the old VHS kind of machine, and she kind of looked at it, and it happened to be a Christmas when she was about 15 or 16. And her grandparents, her father's parents, were there. And of course, he was shooting, and you could hear his voice. And of course, it was one of those things where he was taking the camera and putting it right in the face of everybody. And then he heard him say to his mother, "Mom, what do you want to say to people 5 or 10 years from now?" And as she watched it, the grandmother looked back and she said, "I would want them to look at this and see the love that is present in the family and to thank God for that." There was a shepherd's voice in there. It was coming through the grandmother, and the shepherd's voice was kind of reminding this young woman about the love of her family. That yes, there is the grief in terms of the loss, but the love that is there is something which is cherished, treasured, and which literally finds its life in God. Finds its life in God. To know, literally, the Lord knows us, and we have to listen to the voice of those who care for us as they surround us, reminding us of the gratitude that we have to have for that relationship that's been initiated by God in and through us. And you know, we're also reminded right now. We're reminded right now of individuals within our society who suddenly are caught in emotional disturbances, who are caught in their own life by whatever circumstances have been placed in. And we listen to the voice of the Lord as He tells us to reflect on the blessings that we have. And we also pray for those individuals that come into our community with that type of personal disturbance and that type of sense. So to know and to listen to the voice of God and to be responsive and to know that we live in a world that God does speak to us, that God kind of reminds us immediately of our relationship. Second is to feed, and obviously Jesus does feed us. How does He feed us? He feeds us immediately in and through the Eucharist that He gives us. As a family, we come around the table and we share in the life of the family, in and around the table. And we are fed through so many different ways. How are we fed? We're fed through the conversation and the relationships that we have, the sharing of our lives. We're fed in the food that's placed on our table and the sumptuousness of that. And we're fed in the memories that we have that linger on after that. Our Lord feeds us here at this table, which is the Eucharistic table. A sumptuous feast, literally Himself, which suddenly is given over to us. And we take that Lord into the world to proclaim His life for others. And lastly, the shepherd protects us. And in our life, He does protect us. And how does He do that? He forms and fashions us with literally God's law and the church. And it's that church that, again, echoes that voice, "I know you better than you know yourself." Here is what the Lord asks from you to follow. Here is what the Lord demands from you. Here is what will give you life. And to open yourselves up to that presence. In the first reading of Acts, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ led to 3,000 being baptized on that day. Individuals who were fearful, who were frightened, suddenly were transformed and changed and proclaimed the Lord Jesus. We follow the shepherd because, as St. Peter tells us in the second reading, "For you had gone astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd who is the guardian of your soul." And for that guardian, for his voice, for his food, and for his protection, all of us give thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.